Geek Tank is supported by listeners like you.
Get your Uru hammers and your nailer guns, a sonic screwdriver or a sword plus one. Use Valerian steel if it'll get you to come to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank. The Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your space exploration-sized podcast.
Look like Team Rocket's blasting off again.
So it's October 5th, so our question is, where would the space race have gone if America had gotten to space first rather than the Russians in 1957? But first, the news. Geek Tank is sponsored in part by Geek Way Homes. There's only one way to buy a home, and that's the Geek Way. Okay, well, maybe not. Also, Vision Comics and Oddities is having a 50% off sale on everything through Halloween. Go see them. They're at 3958 South Federal Boulevard in Sheridan, just south of Hamden. And they've got all kinds of cool stuff. In the news, Pad 39A is finishing the upgrades for returning to crew operations this week when the crew escape baskets from the Shuttle Era were moved up to the higher crew access arm location. Earlier this month, SpaceX installed the new slicker Falcon crew access arm to the launch pad. It's all neat. It looks like a
mouthful.
It is kind of a mouthful, but it does look like a jetway from an airport now, as opposed to the gantry that they used in the Apollo era. Kind of cool. NASA has extended the contract for the Chandra Space Telescope through 2024. The new TESS Space Observatory has located its second planet just days after its first. A hot Earth, it orbits a red dwarf star with a year of only 11 days.
I love that show.
I know. It was a good show. TESS is NASA's newest Planet Hunter telescope, better equipped to find planets than the Kepler telescope. A paper published in Nature Geoscience last week announced that an astonishing discovery, that there are dust storms on Titan. It appears that the spacecraft Cassini caught pictures of the dust storms on the moon of Saturn just before it made its death plunge.
That's the Jawa's favorite place.
It is.
Cassini!
Cassini! And finally, observers using the ESA's Newton X-ray telescope observed a clump of matter falling into a black hole at an astonishing 30% the speed of light. That's the fastest they've seen anything move.
Well, they haven't seen me get free pizza.
That's true.
Coming out in the movies on October 5th, which I'm pretty sure is a Friday, is Venom. I know a lot of Spider-Man Venom fans have been loving, like, waiting for this and waiting for this.
I'm really excited. I haven't even looked at trailers.
They look interesting.
I'm not going to watch trailers anymore, I decided. I'm just going to wait for you to tell me what I should watch.
Okay. Well, I only can tell you one a week.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Dramatic voice.
Journalist Eddie Brock is trying to take down Carlton Drake, the notorious and brilliant founder of the Life Foundation. While investigating one of Drake's experiments, Eddie's body merges with the alien Venom, leaving him with superhuman strength and power. Twisted, dark, and fueled by rage, Venom tries to control the new and dangerous abilities that Eddie finds so intoxicating.
It's rated PG-13.
Really?
Why
fans are upset because they are holding out hope that they'll one day be able to cross over Venom with Spider-Man. And all the Spider-Man movies are PG-13, and they want to be able to have people who see
guys.
It go back. But here's the thing you don't have to worry about. PG-13 means you can still have all the decapitations, blood and spray and death, and all the gruesome stuff you're going to have. Just can't have female nudity from, you know, anywhere.
Boo.
And you can't drop more than one F-bomb.
And you can't have male nudity either. Boo.
Which means that Batman is now past PG-13.
But just that
Seriously.
One issue.
Just because we already
gonna, said. We're not going to talk about that member of the Bat family, okay?
I'm Batwing.
We're not going to do it.
You know what he throws now? Batter wings.
Okay, so Denver Comic Con. Oh, wait, no, they're not Denver Comic Con anymore. They're Denver Pop Culture Con. They have announced that they're changing their name. Essentially, they just wanted a new name that encompassed everything that goes on at the convention, from comics to television and film, authors, cosplay, workshops, educational programming, and all other aspects of the pop culture fandom. They also announced a new event, the Reno Pop Culture Con, which will debut in 2019.
Where is it?
I have no idea. I'm still waiting for info. Like, it just literally says, look for info later.
I think we should switch it with every time we say it, it'd be Denver culture.
There you go.
Once you pop, you just can't stop.
Yeah.
There's your new slogan, guys.
Yep.
Free of charge. Wait, no, not.
Well, we get free passes, yeah. So media passes.
I guess, whatever. But it's a good name change, especially with all the lawsuit battles going on over the Comic-Con name.
It's a mess.
San Diego
being
absolutely ridiculous. So I understand the name change. I don't absolutely love it. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, but it fits. So we'll call it good.
DPCC. C.
Yeah, it's keeping it to three words would have been better, but...
Right.
I'm sure they didn't just pull it out of a hat. I'm sure they agonized
they
over
it.
Yeah, for
they
sure.
They probably worked on it a lot.
So we'll, as usual, you know, report from there. And
yeah.
Next
we'll
year.
See if the name yep. change changed the
next
convention.
Year. God, it's
which
September
I'm sure it didn't.
Already. What is happening? But yeah, that's it for them. We'll see what happens.
And that's the news. So it's October 1st, which means that it's the week of October Sky.
Oh, October Sky, dramatic voice. John Hicken is a West Virginia coal miner who loves his job and expects his sons, Jim, played by Scott Miles, and Homer, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, to follow in his footsteps. But Jim gets a football scholarship and Homer becomes interested in rocket science after seeing Sputnik 1 crossing the sky. Yeah, I saw this movie a long time ago. This is what we're talking about?
Actually, yes, oh,
okay.
To some degree.
Okay.
Because that movie sounds like... It's all about a football scholarship, but it's about Sputnik.
Mm-hmm.
So
all about the Sputnik.
Anyway.
I'm all about that Sputnik.
So October 4th is the anniversary of Sputnik. It's now the 61st year of space flight for
so
human
it's
beings.
A senior now, isn't it? Over 60, you get the discount.
Yeah, it gets a discount. So it's, yeah, but now we've been a spacefaring race, human beings, for 61 years, which is
yeah.
kind of cool.
Of course, being geeks in sci-fi, it's like we barely qualify as spacefaring.
I know. By sci-fi standards, we are just barely there.
We're little babies in the space waste.
Yes. Toddlers.
Toddlers. But, so what we talk about on this one, though, is that we're referring to Sputnik's launch,
mm-hmm.
or Sputnik, which is actually how it's pronounced. And when you talk about Sputnik, you talk about what would happen if we had gotten... I was thinking about this and pondering in a what-if fashion. What would have happened if we had gotten there first?
Mm-hmm.
So let's give a little bit of background here. In real life, not in my ponderance.
Yeah, so
in real life,
we were way, way late.
On yeah. all kinds of stuff.
Well, and right after World War II, both the U.S. and USSR realized how important rocket science was to the military.
Mm-hmm. They had inherited a whole bunch of German V-1s and mm-hmm. V-2s, which was what Germany was doing, was working in rocket science. Now, this wasn't just Germany. We were working with Robert Goddard here.
Mm-hmm.
And Germany was working off of Goddard's work, and so it's, you know, a lot of stuff was going on in the history of time.
The problem is that President Eisenhower was not so on board this whole space race stuff.
No,
he didn't really care. He was more about the militant side of things than the rocket science side of things.
Because
so,
he was General Eisenhower.
Yeah.
A World War II general.
Well,
and so it makes some sense that he really hadn't...
He didn't think about the implications.
Yeah, he had
no
idea.
And the biggest thing is that before Sputnik was released, the first intercontinental ballistic missile was launched on August 21st of 1957. And that was a Soviet mission, R-7 Semyorka. So things were already... in progress. And the funny thing is, we recently have gotten a lot of declassified files from the Secretary of State, which is really cool, in the White House. And the CIA told Eisenhower that the Russians were going to be able to launch first. He just didn't care. So a lot of Americans, like the public, were shocked. But as far as the higher-ups in the government, they knew what was going on with Sputnik, which is kind of annoying when you think about it.
What's really one of those things, by the way, that Smyorka rocket that they're talking about, that you were talking about, hasn't changed much in 60 years. It's pretty much the same critter that they're launching today.
That's terrifying.
It's pretty much the same one that launches the Soyuz today to the ISS. Hasn't changed much at all.
So that's
in 60
really
years.
Critical technology right there, right out the bat.
There's an exchange in Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Loving and
loving
or hating the bomb,
the H-bomb.
But it's when one of them's trying to explain to another character something like, yeah, the Russians went and they got their German scientists, and then we got our German scientists, and so everybody was getting German scientists since they were the ones that were ahead of the game with the planning.
Right.
Yes. But, and our German scientist was Wernher von Braun. Mm-hmm. And that's who we got.
So.
And we got Wernher von Braun, and he was brought over from his where he was working and his scientists, and he actually escaped. He fled through Switzerland, I believe, and we picked him up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked real hard to be picked up by the United States because he had seen how the wind was blowing with Russia.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And he didn't want to be picked up with Russia.
It's just interesting to see the split. It's two sets of German scientists at post-World War II.
The Russians had started already trying. They were already making noises about invading Poland and things like that.
They
hadn't done it yet, but they were already trying to get all of the Crimea area and all of that area. They were already starting
to
move
into that.
They were trying to expand. So the Germans that they got were captured.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they might not have had as good a life.
And they didn't. So the scientists that were working, that the Russians were working with, didn't have a lot of information. So when Korolev started putting together his stuff, he was working off of German documentation. The thing is, Korolev was brilliant. So the difference is that the Russian scientist who was working on this was a genius. The problem is, he was in the gulag.
Oh, God.
And so he had been in the gulag for a long time, and his teeth were rotted out, and he was in bad shape. And so they had to haul him out of the gulag because he was a political prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to rehabilitate him. And ultimately, he would end up dying of his disorder from being in prison for so long.
Yes,
so
a happy worker is a productive worker.
Right.
And
the Russians pretty much shot themselves
worker.
In their foot. Because he ended up dying before the N1 could be built, which was their moon rocket.
Gotcha.
Your moon.
Yeah.
So let's chat a little bit about Sputnik, because it is kind of a critical part of this equation. It was launched into a low Earth orbit.
LEO.
And so this thing, it orbited for 3 weeks. Then the batteries died, and then it ran silent for 2 months, and then fell back in through the atmosphere.
Why have they not used that for like a Duracell or an Energizer commercial?
I don't know.
It's like, if you would have used the right batteries.
It would have been, yeah, I don't know. They might just not want to piss off the Russians. It was 23 inches in diameter. It's a giant polished sphere. It's very pretty. It's got four external radio antennas. And each is easily detachable, so that was kind of nice. It kind of looks a little bit like you would expect maybe a comet to look like if you could see the tails of it. So it was orbiting at a 65 degree inclination during their duration of its orbit, so that made its flight path virtually cover all of the Earth. So this is why this was such a big deal. This thing was orbiting. It could see everything. Americans were freaked out this thing passed over the U.S. I think it was, what was it, like 14 times a day?
Well, yeah.
Or something like that?
It orbited every 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So they call that big deal the Sputnik moment, which is when America started to question its attempts to get ahead in the technical dominance aspect mm-hmm. of it. They're like, oh, they can do that, and we look like fools because we can't. So
right, and that's
the source of the question. That
this
we have
is the source
here.
Of the question,
yeah.
Because so, that was the big thing.
So what I had found out was that we could have beat Sputnik into space, but they wanted to do another test run. Is
right.
that correct? So
because Explorer 1 was built and ready to go.
So our hypothetical is: what if instead of doing that test run, they went ahead and shot Explorer 1 off and beat Sputnik into space?
Right, and we had Explorer 1 up there. And so that's our, so giving a little bit more basis on Sputnik 1, which, by the way, Sputnik 1, Sputnik is Russian for satellite.
No, not potato.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was potato.
It's not weird round thing?
No, elementary satellite.
And there were two Sputniks. There was Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2.
Yes. Sputnik 2 is a sadder story.
Sputnik 2 is really upsetting.
Sputnik 2 is a much sadder story. Because that one's with Laika. That one's a much, much sadder story.
And Laika and Sputnik 2 were launched into space on November 3rd of 1957. Laika was a Soviet space dog who
yes.
died basically hours after launch.
Yes.
Which is so upsetting.
Yes. Of overheating.
Oh.
It was the first time we discovered that you need to put radiators on spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. I mean, we thought space was cold. We had no idea. We didn't. I mean, we had to learn all this stuff. This is stuff that we didn't realize. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were things that you had to learn.
Yeah. The biggest thing is it was kind of pushed because they wanted it to be ready for space before the 48th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. But it was pushed because they did want to get a man in space. So, you know, this was a giant step towards that with a dog being in space. But unfortunately, that dog paid the ultimate price. Just so, so sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, we've got lots of sad stories. We'll tell more of them when we come back after this.
I'm Soren with the Denver Astronomical Society. We meet at Chamberlain Observatory by the University of Denver once a month with open houses. Come on out and see us. Look at the moon and the stars and the planets. You're listening to Geek Tank.
And we are back. Today's question we're exploring is, where would the space race had gone if America had gotten to space first? And I just abbreviated it. I think you added, like, instead of Russia. Or something
instead
like
of Russia. Okay. In 1957.
Yeah.
With an orange.
And a peach.
Or a dog.
So,
sad face.
Sad face. Laika!
So this is kind of the speculation aspect, which I'm not nearly anywhere near the NASA guru, fan, fanatic,
Goober.
As you are, guy.
Oh. Oh.
But I always felt that the Russia making it first is kind of what lit a fire under America. And had we gotten in first, maybe we wouldn't have been as enthusiastic to continue.
And that's what makes me wonder, too. I mean, because I actually don't disagree.
Right. I mean,
I wonder
see
what would have happened if we'd fired off Explorer. Would we have
been content?
Would we have let Russia get to the moon first? I mean, Russia was moving.
They were hustling. But the biggest thing is that once we launched, they never caught up.
Right.
Because they had already, I mean, things were exploding.
Literally.
On their launch pads.
Yeah. I mean, well, except that they did. They were ahead of us. They were ahead of the game all the way to the moon. And the only reason that they weren't ahead of the game at the moon was because Korolev died.
Well, don't you mean that they would have been if they were ahead? They were ahead of the game, getting to faking the moon landing.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't make me hit you. But
see,
I mean, you think about it.
I'm
Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they beat us to the first man in space. Mm-hmm. Heck, they beat us to the first woman in space with Valentina Tereshkova. So, I mean, you know, of course, that was a publicity stunt because they didn't launch another female into space until 1985. We beat them to the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth woman in space. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and we put them to work. I mean, you know, all they did was just stick Valentina up there and then bring her back.
And wasn't there some deal about the makeup or something like that?
Well, that's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. And I actually, there's even questioning whether they even had Valentina's cockpit controls on or not. Some people said that they didn't even connect her consoles, so she may not have even had control over her spacecraft.
That's a huge scandal.
They had that whole chauvinistic woman driver attitude.
Right. Mm. Well, they didn't want her accidentally throwing anything if she became hysterical or crazy. Because, mm-hmm. you know, women are just apparently... just go insane, apparently.
Sure.
Who knows? I don't know. Weird. Anyway. But you women are just apparently
trusted,
hysterical.
Don't put her in space.
That was my... it's just... I don't even know what to say about all
some
this stuff
people
that I've
are
learned.
Crazy. People. People. Some
I have learned some
crazy.
Bizarre stuff. I mean, stuff that... It's amazing how much we've grown in 60 years. Let's just put it that way.
I totally get it because I'm reading a book that's set in 1937 and I'm just pissed at all of the female characters. I just want to bang their heads together and be like, your line life is not just to make babies. It's very annoying.
Anyway.
But anyways, with Explorer 1, what I'm seeing with this is it was launched, it was lighter. It was almost ready to go when Sputnik was launched, but just not quite there yet. It lasted longer. It lasted for 4 months. It remained in orbit until the 70s. And then I think it crashed down. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't say where it went.
It's orbit decayed.
They didn't really have plans.
So there's Explorer 1. And that was launched on January 31st, 1958. And then on March 17th, something even better was launched into space, Vanguard 1, right. Which was the first with solar. It's the longest man-made object still. It's still in orbit.
Yes.
The thing is still orbiting. We can't communicate it with it, but that's just at the point.
Yeah, well, yes. So Vanguard's still
it's
up
still there.
Just hanging out.
So here's a question from a layman's aspect, since I don't know. Besides America cheering itself on and patting itself on the back, what did getting to the moon actually help us with?
You mean...
But how has that helped us scientifically... what practical way has it helped us outside of increasing morale?
It was a big morale booster for everybody to get to space. It was a huge thing that fueled science, particularly in the U.S. It also fueled a lot of different jobs as well.
So the truth of the matter is that there was a ton of realistic, I don't know. I mean, this is the old fight. There's always been an old fight between why we should send people and not probes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of stuff like, why did you send a guy there when you could? Well, we didn't know whether the ground was soft or not. Well, okay, you could find that with a probe.
You can say that same fight with modern military. Why did you not send a drone? You sent a Humvee full of people.
Well, now they're doing that. They're downsizing Humvee full of peoples in favor of drones.
Because drones are safer. To be fair, it's the same risk. I mean, you can blow up in space at any second.
Well, where I was getting to with my question is, had Russia made it to the moon, really, there's no resource advantage, so they wouldn't have won that. There's no tactical advantage military-wise. It's really just the morale.
It is. Really what it is that there's a quote... somewhere along the line, and I can't remember what movie it was in, and I don't know, I've seen so many things now, it's hard for me to tell where the quote is, but someone had said, we've got to go to the moon because, you know, if we don't go to the moon, then you're going to look up there some night, and there will be a Russian flag staring down at you. And do you really want to live in that world? And so it's really all about the Russian flag staring down at you. That was all it was all about. Mm-hmm. That was what it was all about. And you're right. I mean, what could we have learned? Not a whole lot. Now, the putting a human being in control of these things, the further we go from here, mm-hmm. the more important it is that we don't have a robot in charge, because robots don't make good decisions.
Well, they kill all humans.
That's always been their problem. A good example was the Phoenix robot on Mars, which, as a great example of this, they sent instructions for the Phoenix robot to dig a trench, and then at the time, Mars was on the other side of the solar system mm-hmm. and was going behind the sun. So they had sent all of its programming to dig the little trench. It would take 15 hours to dig this little trench. And so they sent all of its programming, and everybody went home because they knew it was going to go behind the sun and everything like that. And it was on the other side of... Da, 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 da. They come back 25 hours later because it had to go behind the sun and do its transit and everything like that mm-hmm. to find that it hadn't even started. And it's because it hit a rock. There was a rock in the way of the digging arm.
That's a logical thing, though. Like, I hit a rock, what am I supposed to do?
And the robot doesn't know what to do, right? The robot hit the rock and didn't know what to do. It didn't have a second program
that's
for hitting.
Like, you can't. Oh, my God.
You didn't. It didn't. They didn't. I mean, it hit a rock.
Right.
It lifted the arm, and the arm hit the rock and didn't know what to do next. So it didn't. So it stopped. It stopped all programming. And that's why you send people. Because a person would just go around the rock.
Go around the rock.
Right?
But it's a robot. It doesn't know.
It didn't know what to do.
It's programming to, like,
so they lost an entire day.
Right.
And, of course, because Mars was on the other side of the solar system, it took a day for that information to come back, for the light distance, because it was on the other side of the solar system, although it doesn't take that long. It takes, even when it's on the other side of the solar system, it still only takes about 20 minutes. But it was still the furthest out for all that information. They had to send it back through programming. Programming had to come up with a new program around the rock. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It took a week for them to dig that trench, which should have only taken, like, you know, one day.
Yeah.
They lost a whole week. Whereas a human would have just seen the rock, thrown the rock aside, and dig the trench.
But that's the thing. Like, we do limit AI to a certain point because of this. You know, what if it had dug a trench so deep it couldn't get out and hit the core and, like, exploded?
I don't think the little teeny... It was a little backhoe. I don't think it would hit the core of the planet. Well, and here's another good thing right now. Here's another good example of what's going on. The probes that are over on Mars right now are experiencing one of the worst sandstorms that have ever happened on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are solar powered. None of them have any way of clearing off their solar panels.
And so Spirit and Opportunity are just stuck.
Right. They don't have anything to clear off their solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just gathering dust on their solar panels.
Yep.
And losing power.
Yep.
So what's the race like for Mars? Because I would think that other countries like Russia would be keeping they'd be keeping it mostly secret of what they're doing, because they would know if they're too loud about it, it's going to inspire America to do more.
Nah, nobody has the technology but Russia, and Russia has decided that they're not messing with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
That's kind of sad. Actually, because, as you say, if they were ahead in the space race, they just didn't quite make it, then why?
They lost the initial war. So yeah. Now it's between SpaceX and us, and NASA, so to speak. It's NASA and SpaceX. And NASA is actually sort of intentionally fostering this, because as long as these two are warring against each other, people have somebody to cheer on.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of like it.
So another big question is, essentially, why didn't Russia make it to the moon? And the biggest problem was they had a lot of instability in their rockets. And so they kept exploding on the launch pad, which is really bad.
Russia had a fascinating rocket design.
They did. I'm looking at it right now.
Where they took the exhaust, which is used in the turbopump,
mm-hmm.
and push it back through the engine. And it's a phenomenal idea. It gives it another 25% power boost, and that makes their rockets incredible. And it's a Korolev design.
But it's got a huge risk to overheat.
It blew the things apart. You had to have a special alloy in the rocket casing for it, and they had to invent the alloy.
Which they did later.
But had to blow up engines to find out that they had to make the... They had to blow up a whole bunch of engines to figure that out.
Speaking of blowing up engines, we're going to take a break to go blow up some engines, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi there, I'm Mike Quinn, puppeteer from The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, a lot of the Muppet films, TV shows, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
All right, space nerds, I have a
That's
really,
me. Talking to you.
Really complicated hypothetical question for you here. So we started talking about October Sky at the very beginning of this episode, which is about Homer Hickam.
No different Homer.
He's a former NASA engineer. So I was just reading about him and just talking about NASA. He was a big perfectionist. He wanted everything to be done correctly the first time, methodically calculated out, ready to go, so that, you know, these tragedies wouldn't happen. And unfortunately, right, they did. So I pose a theoretical to you. What if Hickam hadn't been inspired by Sputnik, but he had already been inspired by something else when it was at NASA when they were developing the first
satellite?
Like
if he was in charge?
Like if he was heading one of the projects, because it sounds like he doesn't necessarily need to be in charge. He sounds like a stubborn, fantastic individual who will get things done the way he needs to. So I wouldn't say exactly in charge, but maybe like a supervisor of a project.
So part of especially if you like follow Grumman and how Grumman worked their way through making the lunar lander, that's a great example of how it worked to get things done in this. It's always a matter of compromise. You can't, you know, like Grumman's original design for the lunar lander had a huge forward window that was beautiful. Then they were like, oh, well, yeah, but that the amount of weight that we're going to have in glass. Mm-hmm. And so they made these two little triangular windows. And so, you know, then it was the airlock door. And then they're like, do we need an airlock, really? We just put everybody in spacesuits and then, you know, dump the airlock.
Did they put windshield wipers on it?
No.
What about cup holders?
Yeah, there were no cup holders. Dang, you know what I mean?
I don't want one.
Like all of this stuff, it's a great story to go through and watch how they started with this really interesting, unique design for the lunar lander, and then they just kept hacking at it
until to get to the bare minimum
what they actually ended up with, and in this little spidery thing that they finally launched. And they were late to launch, and all kinds of weird stuff happened because of it.
Okay.
I mean, for example, Spider, which was the one that was finally launched, mm-hmm, ended up launching after its launch date. So they flip-flopped to Apollo's, because the launch date where they were supposed to be testing Spider ended up having to go after the flight which they were going to test it.
Gotcha.
Because it wasn't ready. Spider wasn't ready to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that Grumman just couldn't make it in time. So a lot of space flight is based on, you know, how perfect can we get it? We can't. There's no way to hit perfect. You're going to hit close.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apollo 1 disaster is a great example of taking too many pieces away and then somebody died.
Right.
I mean, we lost White, Chaffee, and Grissom because they took too many pieces away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem. They knew that running a pure oxygen environment was going to be a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And what they decided to do was run it at a lower pressure and make everything as non-flammable as they could get away with.
Jeez.
And so the whole idea was, if you ran it at pure oxygen, you wouldn't have to make the entire capsule pressurized. Then they could take away one of the pressure vessels. And that would save some weight. So, I mean, you know, it's like it's all a balance game.
It is a huge balance game, because I've been watching a lot of stuff about the lunar lander And that was a freaking roller coaster ride.
It's an insane thing.
To the point where the window shattered accidentally during testing, and they had to take all the pieces out. They didn't throw them away. They put it back together, because if there was one little piece of shrapnel in there, it could have killed the entire lander.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep. You have to find it. You have to go find it.
God.
It's in there somewhere.
Just turn it upside down and shake it.
Right.
Shake.
So
how do we
the question? The question that she's got is, would having a perfectionist have worked? Mm-hmm. I feel like if you read up on Wernher von Braun, he was a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't settle for anything less than the perfect top of the line. The problem with von Braun was that he was compromised a lot on his vision.
Okay.
A lot of this stuff is on his vision, and he had to compromise a lot. He was headed to Mars. All of this stuff is his Mars program. All of it. I mean, all the way from Mercury, all the way through to Apollo was his Mars program. And so he just, you can't. I think the answer is you would have probably found the same thing. It would have been the same thing.
Well, so far as to have gotten to get back to our question, if we would have beaten Sputnik into space, then that would have been one of those less inspirations to go faster, and then Russia could have made it to the moon.
Yeah, I think
so. Then how would that have changed history?
I think honestly, I think that Russia would have had more time, and they would have gotten the N1 working, and I think they would have beaten us to the moon. Because your question that you had asked earlier, mm-hmm. what's the benefit of the moon?
Yeah.
You would have gotten, in Congress, you would have gotten more people asking the question of what's the point? We already made it into space. We've already got our weapons platform in space.
Mm-hmm.
We can already hit Russia. Why go further? And then Russia would get to the moon, and we would say, we can hit anything coming from Russia with our weapons platform.
Mm-hmm.
So why?
So this is just as much about the arms as it is about space itself, because really, where can we hit people from, and how can we communicate?
Military-wise, if you're going to take territory, it has to yield some kind of
high ground.
Tangible.
Right.
And so,
well, I mean, what kind of high ground can you take except space?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is like that the Sputnik effect I'm sorry, I didn't mean to run over you. The Sputnik effect that Troy was talking about terrified people.
Yeah.
They were scared. And that was the catalyst.
Okay.
That lit the fire.
Which, sadly, that's one of the biggest things that drives just political minds for a lot of people, is if you can get them afraid of something, then you can get them on your side to fight whatever they're afraid of.
Right.
Which drives me crazy.
It does. It's for intelligent people don't fall for those tricks.
Yeah. But in an age where they're not as, you know, this technology is still new, you know, these satellites had less computing data than our cell phones.
Oh, by far.
We got to the moon on less data than what's in our cell phones.
Easily. I carried everything that was on the lunar lander on a 3.5-inch floppy.
It blows my mind every single day. That's incredible.
So the advantage of getting there first really is the motivation to continue to be scientific. At least for a time, it ran that way. Man made it to the moon. What else can we learn? And that helped drive people wanting to be more scientific and learn more about science.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the advantage of making it there first. So I would guess that had we not made it to the moon first, we might be a step behind technologically versus Russia.
I think we would have raced to catch up. I still think it would have fostered a healthy competition. Because I don't see, we live in America, who's never behind anything. We're always racing, racing, racing to have the newest and the best and the greatest thing.
We simply would have decided it wasn't something we needed.
And then just been like, hey, yo, UK, how you doing? You want to collab on some stuff and kind of keep it low-key over there? Because, you know, we're a little busy with this military expedition here. Do you think maybe the Cold War would have become a live war in that sense if we had gotten to space first?
But I mean, it would be like.
Here's the question: what we'd have to look at is John F. Kennedy. What would he have? How would he have viewed that? Would he think that taking territory on the moon would have been the morale boost that we needed?
Kennedy wasn't 100% on board with space either.
Which is weird because he's like the space president.
He was. But he was brought on board
later. Put a man on the moon.
And do the other thing.
The worst impression ever.
Yeah. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. but it's he did that because that's in fact the reason why he was in Dallas, and the reason he got shot was because he was trying to raise awareness for the space program.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
These are all things that are like part of this.
That's like integral. Like if he wasn't the space president, he wouldn't have been shot in Dallas.
We wouldn't have lost him. But here's the thing. There are a lot of things going on in the world that we're not part of.
Mm-hmm.
And space would have just simply been one of those things that we don't pay any attention to. We just never really got into.
Do you think maybe we would have been more interested in the ocean instead? Hmm. Which a lot of people do argue, like, if we weren't into space, we would be exploring our own ocean and maybe finding new technology to dive deeper there. Because yeah. we know more about space than we do about our own oceans.
If you think about it from a resource point of view, it would yield better resources, so it makes it worth more of a gamble.
And if you can install missiles under the seabed without messing with all the sea life and all that fun stuff and launch
Except
missiles
that, of course,
straight
we're
from
talking
the
about
sea.
The 50s, so you we know, would have just messed with the sea life.
Right. We would have poisoned them all. And
yeah, we would have just poisoned them all.
Great Barrier Reef would have been bleached.
I'm trying right now to think of things that go on in the world that we just don't seem to really have any hand in as America. We just don't seem to get involved with.
We don't fight with Canada.
Right. Well, no, I'm talking about like international things that occur, because I know that I've got a couple of them that I keep thinking about in my head, and I'm like, it's interesting that America just doesn't get involved in this.
Mm.
And, you know, we just never do.
As far as like technology and things like that, Japan really seems ahead. They're really forging new technology and new devices.
Yeah, but we're definitely with technology.
But it's kind of on like, it's not on the forefront. I mean.
So do we have an answer to this question?
I think the answer is, I think we would have definitely fallen behind.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very much that without the Sputnik effect, there would have been no race to the moon.
And maybe we'd been working on other stuff.
I mean, I think we would have gotten there, but it'd be like we're doing Mars right now, which would have been, it would have taken us years. Years and years and years and years and years.
Do you think we'd be more excited about getting to Mars if we didn't make it to the moon first?
No.
No? Not at like another chapter in the space race at all?
No. Yeah, I think we'd end up with just a, well, gosh, what are you guys spending money on now? your harebrained ideas. I think that's where we'd be.
Okay.
So there you go.
With absolutely nothing to back this up, I think that we would have become more aggressive because going off of how they took Sputnik.
I can see that, yeah.
I can almost see a wise political person seeing it bringing down America and for the sake of morale, thinking, well, we have to defeat them in something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and the most visible thing would be to defeat them in some kind of space aspect. So just for the showmanship of it, I think we would have become more aggressive with, and I think NASA would have been more incorporated into a military aspect at that point,
you
because
think,
of the fear like, of Russia's got the moon, we better come up with spaceships that shoot lasers.
Do you think we would have gotten the first man in space if we got the first satellite up? We'll get the first man too. I know they're trying
for
to get
the
man.
For the hypothetical to work, we would have had to have gotten into space first to have become laxed about getting to the moon.
Okay.
Is my guess, looking at it as a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it kind of goes both ways. I can see, you know, the aggressions turning up because America likes to be good at things. I really see that, and I honestly do enjoy the competitive spirit of America as a country from time to time on certain things. And I feel like we would have become competitive about space. Like, oh, I see you launched a satellite in space that's heavier than ours. Well, we're going to make even better satellites that last like weeks. And we still would have gotten that solar satellite up there, and maybe the first man and maybe the first woman as well. Like, hey, we shot the first couple in space. No big. Russia, catch up. Get on our level. It's okay. You launched the first missile, but we got to space first. And maybe it would have supported some more ideas. Maybe Russia would have treated their prisoners of war a little bit better. But
poor Korolev.
The biggest thing is you never know. And there are fortunately a lot less deaths in space, which is what I really appreciate. So that's all on this for now. Let's go ahead and answer another question in our AWA.
It's time for our AWA, Ask Us Anything. And our question comes to us from you guys, our happy people who are listening to us. And the question is, if you were in Starfleet, would you be science, tactical, or command? And I'll pass this one to Troy.
Oh, I've got a short answer. Section 31.
There you go.
Okay.
I want to be in tactical because I've always wanted to blow shit up in space.
You know, that doesn't make any sound.
I know, but it's still cool.
Okay.
It would be the silent explosion in space.
It's the quote from Mass Effect that Sir Isaac Newton is the most dangerous destructive force in space because once you fire something, it keeps going. So, like, you have to be precise. And I enjoy that precision in life. So, like, I'm going to hit that ship at that quadrant at this time. You have to do a lot of calculation to do it, but when you get it right, you're like,
I guess it would make sound because it's in the Star Trek universe.
Right.
So everything in Star Trek explodes.
So once it gets fired, it keeps going. You don't want to lose your job in space, or otherwise you're unemployed for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Okay.
I guess then I would be science.
Of course.
Although we've always tried to figure out what is an artist in Starfleet. I mean, what color would an artist wear?
They don't join Starfleet.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, where would Jake be?
He's on a planet with a bunch of people wearing togas and skirts.
Like, yeah. You have Counselor Troy, who's kind of like the hippie of the group, right, as a Beta Zed?
Yeah, but I mean, you know...
Like, the captains it's are not all like, creative to a point.
It's
you know?
Not like Starfleet doesn't have graphic design. Mm-hmm. Somebody has got to be making the little labels on every door.
But they're sitting on a starbase far away from all the action.
Yeah, but what uniform color are they wearing? This is what makes me wonder, and this keeps me up at night.
Rainbows.
Are they wearing blue? Are they wearing...
Well, artists wouldn't want to be in a uniform.
Right.
It's
harsh as the vibe, man.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think it's science, engineering, or command. I think engineering or tactical. So I think it's actually engineering is what they should be saying.
Engineering is where you could be the most artistic. Because
that's what I'm saying. Is this a science? Is art a science? Or is science or is art engineering? So would I be wearing a blue shirt, or would I be wearing a yellow shirt?
Well, you consider engineers have to draw plans, blueprints.
Right. So that makes you wonder. So there you go. I would be either wearing blue or yellow. I made a decision a long time ago to wear blue because I like blue.
Well, you wanted to wear a maroon, so...
Well, the monster maroons, but whenever I wear the collars are in science.
That's true.
So... Which, in the movies, was a different color completely because it was gray. So there you go. That's your question for us and Ask Us Anything. If you have anything you want to tell us or ask us, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, thanks for listening to our show today. That's all we've got. Next week...
Next week, we're going to talk about Halloween traditions. Some we'd like to start, some we've already had, some Halloween memories, some history.
And the Your Mom jokes fly everywhere.
Next week on Geek Tank.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We're Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Fuller, and Chelsea Kramer. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/FoxBlade. I'm Mike Davis. Set course for a strange new world and engage. Good night.
I'm Batwang.